Everyone.
Hi guys, what's up?
We're back to the we know you one person us. That's listening.
To the one person, exactly.
Hi mom.
Yeah, hi mom if you choose to listen to this, which you might not.
Yeah.
Okay. New developments have happened, like they happen every week. Yeah. But very exciting things are happening in the world of Hollywood.
Oh, yeah.
And very confusing things are happening. And there's something I'm very excited about is the fact that the Multiverse of Madness trailer has came out. And not that like half, not that like one that came out at the end of Spider-Man.
The teaser trailer was a lot. Because we
I also think that everybody was like reeling from what they just watched, and they're just like, oh, this trailer.
When I saw it, like when it was in the theaters and they played that, I was like, oh my God, I was like so thrown off kilter. I was not expecting that. I was like, what, this is so much happening. And like, not, it's like, normally it's just like a little scene and then that's it. And they gave a full trailer. So I remember like when I came home afterwards, I watched it again. And
I did the same thing.
I was like, this is a lot, but I still know nothing. I was like, I could not tell you one thing that's going
to
happen in this movie.
Trying to create hype, because they were just like, oh, so he basically just broke open the multiverse and this is a great connection. But
yeah.
I was like, I was just completely like, oh, okay. Like I was like,
yeah.
Like I had just finished crying.
Yeah, it was a lot, but this
trailer. Can we talk about what happens in the trailer or like what we remember from
okay.
it?
Okay, so everyone, it's a trailer, it's not spoilers.
Yeah, also if you haven't seen Spider-Man No Way Home, that's your fault.
Yeah.
So,
exactly.
There's no spoiler. Okay, it's been like 2 months since the movie came out. No spoiler warnings for that.
No.
But,
yeah.
I'm such me being like, no, I am not going to.
Spoiler warning for every show we talk about. As soon as we bring up the name, expect to be spoiled.
Exactly. Okay, so Multiverse of Madness trailer. Let's talk first about, like, characters that we hadn't seen before. I think they're bringing Professor X, like, into.
Yes. Okay. MCU. I was going to hit
be the same.
That last.
I don't think it's going to be the same as the X-Men universe one, but I think he's like, they're bringing.
I have a theory.
Oh, what is it?
Well, it's not my theory. After all these trailers come out, there's this one YouTube channel that always like breaks down all of the Marvel stuff that I always go to, that like has always posted stuff and always just gets my little theorizing brain going. So I popped over to them. They're called New Rockstars. They're really good. Like just like entertaining, funny people who like just like love talking
about
Marvel.
Okay, I'll go check them out after then.
And they were talking about how like there's this committee, I guess, like in the comics. It's called the Illuminati. It's called the Illuminati, but it's like not the Illuminati like in the world. I mean, that doesn't really exist, but it's like not that conspiracy thing. It's like a council of a bunch of smart people from like different like areas. Like you've got like the X-Men one, you've got like Tony Stark is a part of it, there's like all these different people that are a part of it.
Yeah, that's why people are saying like they might be bringing like a variant of Tony Stark who's played by
exactly
Tom Cruise.
Yeah, exactly.
Anybody who doesn't know, Tom Cruise was actually like on the short list or something to play Iron Man.
Yeah,
like they wanted Tom Cruise, but then they got like, I think it was like between him and Robert Downey Jr. and they went with Robert Downey Jr., which is just like interesting
because that's so it'd be very interesting to see. I would also love for Robert Downey Jr. to come back for like a little alternate universe Tony Stark.
Yeah, but he's
and so
back. I don't think.
What also furthers this theory is that the little robots that are in the trailer, those are the Ultron robots from
Age
of
Ultron. The Ultron robots. Yeah,
exactly. So I'm like, it would make sense for there to be a Tony Stark variant of some kind, like on this.
Yeah,
console,
and then like no one could
yelling
get mad
at Doctor Strange.
Then no one could get mad because it's a different universes, so no one's going to be like, they recast Robert Downey Jr.
Exactly.
Like,
and it's supposed to be
so
like
much longer than he needed to, because I saw an interview once of Robert Downey Jr. being like, he actually, after the first event, one of the like Avengers movies, his contract was technically done and he had to like make another contract. Like he was not signed on. Like he was going to, it was after Iron Man 3 that he was going to like leave, but then they convinced him to come back or something.
Which makes sense. Yeah. That, like it's so long. That's like 10, 11 years of straight being in only those projects, really, because it takes up so much of his time. But anyways.
Yeah, but it does get him that moolah.
Exactly. So the video was just talking about how like it's probably not the like Professor X that we know just because of what happened in Logan, that like it would be a little bit confusing to like randomly have him. So it's probably from another universe, or they're going to go by the theory that the Fox X-Men universe is another part of the multiverse and it exists, but somewhere else.
That could definitely work, because
exactly,
and like also like the fact that they're taking all the well, now that we know Daredevil's like in the MCU, but like
exactly
they're taking all the Disney, they're taking all the Marvel Netflix shows off of Netflix, and I'm sure
I know, which is especially because so
Kevin Feige said that in the new show Moon Knight that's coming out, which I'm super excited for.
Me
that
too.
They're like not holding back, and to me, yeah, it's, they're gonna try and make like they're gonna be as like brutal as like the action and violence in Daredevil.
The trailer looks,
and I hope because of like this whole onslaught of like people talking about it on TikTok, people really look into it because it's super well done, and I especially love,
yeah,
like,
it looks
Matt Murdock
like
as a character. I just think he's so good.
Yeah, I think going back to Moon Knight, I think it's going to be like what I think it's going to be one of the best Marvel shows that they've produced on Disney Plus. Just
it looks
because
insane.
It looks
insane.
So wild and so like adults, but not in a way where it's like, oh, this is meant for adults. Like, it looks so well made, and like,
yeah, it looks like
it's gonna be very very, yeah, it looks like it's gonna be very very like thought-provoking and very interesting. It's Oscar Isaac, he's brilliant, he's a very very talented actor, so talented. I'm expecting this to be like, I have high hopes for this show.
Same. The trailer looked insane, and it was just a super well-made trailer, because like, yes, you can watch trailers that are like really not well done at all. Well, sometimes trailers are supposed to throw you to make you not expect what you see in the movie, but sometimes trailers are just very much like they either tell you everything that's gonna happen, or they just don't tell you like enough to make you hype for it. And I think this brought the perfect amount of like mystery and hype to it, and that like the music was great, and I just think it was edited super well, because I feel like people don't think enough about trailer editing and how much goes into like doing that, because that's a really big part of promoting a show or a movie.
Yeah, I hate it when trailers give away so much. Like, I want a trailer that just gives me enough to want to see the movie, but not enough where I could like, that's what I hate about rom-com trailers, is that the entire movie's in the trailer. That's it.
It doesn't
make me want to see it.
Girl, he was a boy, and then
and it's like,
he lost his memory or something like that.
Like, when I was, like, just any, like, for example, that new, like, J-Lo rom-com, Marry Me, the entire movie was in the trailer.
I'm not gonna lie, though, I love the fact that they're bringing back the stupid kind of rom-coms, but not the
ones
that
make you... But it did terrible.
No, I know.
It got terrible
reviews. But it kind of made me think about, like, early, like, mid-2000s, like, rom-coms.
But the thing is, it, like, made me understand why they don't make those movies anymore, because people can only watch a movie that's the same movie so many times before they've exhausted every type of rom-com that like exists in that kind of film structure.
Also, like, on top of that, I also think it's like societal changes, because a lot of rom-coms used to be like people who had to like put aside their differences and like realize that they really liked each other or something. And nowadays people want someone who have a lot of the same values as them, which isn't like a problem, but the thing is that things were very different in like the 90s slash like early, like maybe early to mid
early 2000s,
whereas like people who weren't supposed to be compatible characters ending up together. And I feel like realistically movies like that aren't made anymore because of the way that people are now. Which isn't a problem. It's just very much a societal change thing.
Yeah, I also think with just like that, there's so much content available. People want new, like people want to see things that are new. It doesn't necessarily mean that they only like new things, because a lot of the time people complain about new, different movies. But like, I saw a lot of people critiquing the movie before it had even come out, being like, "Ugh, we've already exhausted every type of rom-com," like blah 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 blah, and I was like, okay, like, it might still be good. Like, it's J-Lo. Like, I'm sure, like, she was, like, the rom-com queen. I love, like, I love the rom-coms that she was in. I love
Manhattan
Monster-in-Law.
Like,
they were, I loved watching them as a kid. But, yeah, the reviews
just kind of seemed like here's the thing. I didn't see the movie, but it seemed like it was just lazy.
Yeah,
movie can get bad reviews and can still be, like, beloved because it just garnered, like, a fan support. But the movie just seemed lazy to me.
Yeah, from the reviews that I read, because I like looked on like Rotten Tomatoes, people were like, it was like, in the sense that like, it wasn't, oh, this is an atrocious movie. It was just a movie that everyone had already seen before.
Yeah, and you knew
it was exactly a movie that was already made. It wasn't any different from any other movie, and it was like, if they wanted to try and reboot the rom-com genre, they had to bring something that was a little bit different than what everybody had seen before. Because if people want to go watch a rom-com, they'll go watch one that came out in the 80s, 90s, early 2000s, because those were the ones when it was like the prime time. There were so many to choose from. Nowadays, rom-coms just, I don't think that they're the, like, they're not at, they're kind of, they're not as big of a genre as they used to be. So the quality just isn't as good. And I just think a lot of people who like rom-coms, like, anyone,
what do you,
I know,
think, like, the last good rom-com was? What do you think the last good
rom-com, that's what I'm trying to say. Like, everyone, like, that, like, I, my honestly, sister, for example, okay, loves rom-coms, but her, all of her favorite ones came out in, like, the early 2000s.
Can I be honest,
like,
though?
None of them are new.
Before, like, before, like, the media got a hold of, like, Noah Centineo and how, like, kind of cringy he ended up being, I thought To All the Boys I Loved Before was a well-done movie. I thought it was cute, and I didn't think it was that cringy, and I thought, like, for what it was quite well done, and it, like, still captivated me, and I thought it was, I liked All the Boys I Loved Before, not the two that came after, but the first one was actually pretty well done, in my opinion. But I will say, because it was a book, like, adaptation, like, it was an adaptation, or like adaption, I still don't know the right word to use, I'm sick of people doing that, because it just makes me upset that, like, some people just don't have original ideas to bring to the table, where, like, so many, like young adult, like, fiction novels are being made into movies. And, like, sometimes it's a good thing, because, you know, they have, like, good representation in them and good stories, but a lot of the time a medium is made in a way, like, an art form is made in a way because it was meant to be that way. So a lot of the time it doesn't translate to screen well, because it wasn't supposed to be on screen, it was meant to be a book.
Yeah, I also think these, like, it's not like these rom-com or like these little romance novels that are meant for like 11, 12 year olds, like all the ones that I read when I was in like elementary school, none of them were that complex. Like, it's not hard for a screenwriter to just think up their own version of like, it's not that hard for them to come up with their own story.
Yeah, but then there's, so, the like, other hand, like, of, like, disappointing the fans of that, like, regardless if it's a rom-com or not, there's a lot of,
exactly,
you know, fans,
that's why I'm like,
when it's not done well, like the Percy Jackson movies, like, they're making a show now that was just like greenlit for Disney Plus, which I'm sure is going to do better by the books, but like the movies did not do well by the books at all.
No.
So like, that's why people tend to be like, yeah, stop making adaptations and just start making up original ideas. But
yeah,
because
I think
don't have original ideas anymore.
Exactly. The thing is, like, I think adaptations of books can work to a certain extent.
Yeah, like, Little Women has had many, but I feel like that's different,
all
because
made
it was, like, it's like a period piece, and it's not like a
also,
young adult fiction.
Each one has been different from, like, I've only seen the Winona Ryder one and then the Greta Gerwig one, but both of them are very different, just because Little Women is, like, it's a big book. Like, there's a lot in it, and each
a lot of content
writer, director who's adapting it kind of picks the parts that they want to include, which kind of makes the story a little bit different for each one, and they each director has, like, get added their own kind of creative license to the story, which I think works for a story that's, like, not trying to be the most complex. It's kind of just about a family vibing, like, existing.
The thing I love about Greta Gerwig's version, though, specifically, like, the ending, is how you're not really you're supposed to know that she got her novel published by putting in an end that had the character end up with a guy. So it was, like, rewritten, but you know that that's not actually how she wanted the character to be, because the character was very much, I don't need a man. And it's not just like it's not just her not being in love with Laurie. It's just the fact that she didn't feel the need to be, like, really in a relationship. And that's
okay. Going off of that, what I also really loved is how, instead of doing what all of the other Little Women movies did and the book, where the first half of the book is them as kids and then the second half of the book is them as adults, she kind of intertwined the flashbacks within the middle throughout the the movie, so it was kind of bouncing backwards and forwards, which I really liked.
Oh, like her non-linear, exactly. It also just worked really well, and I find it amazing how the actors, actually specifically Florence Pugh, was able to convey that age without, you know, without even technically looking it, and it didn't feel awkward or weird. Because it also makes you still connect with the actors instead of, like, you know, switching between young actors and older ones. I thought it was super cool that that was done by Greta.
Yeah, I also think one of the things that she did, which was really, really unique, was she blurred the lines between Joe and Louisa May Alcott, like the writer, because Little Women is semi-autobiographical of Louisa May Alcott's life as a kid, and so it kind of really got to shine through the fact that she had to make a lot of sacrifices as a female writer within her stories to get them published, one of those being when she published Little Women, she had to change the ending, and I like how it kind of made it, like, I don't know, I really liked how she was able to put that in the film without it seeming like it was out of place.
I remember walking out of the movie and thinking that I had just seen something quite perfect. I didn't have to stick to a particular genre, if that makes sense. Like, you could say it was a drama, you could say it was a coming of age, but really there was nothing, one box you could quite put it in. Like, you could say it was a period piece. There's a lot of things that it can adapt to.
Yeah.
And I kind of love that, because that means you can't put the movie in a box, and it means you can't, like, characterize it as one thing. And that's what I love about it. I just walked out of that movie feeling I had just seen something quite perfect and really well thought out and very character driven. And I loved that about it.
Yeah. I think it's just a warm movie. It's just warm.
Mm-hmm. About
it's
sisterhood. Sweet. I love movies about sisterhood. Like, or like families. Cause like speaking of family movies, like Encanto, like it showed like a beautiful, like diverse family, and it wasn't necessarily about romance, and it wasn't necessarily about, you know, one thing or the other. And I like family oriented movies, because people can connect with it from like anywhere.
Yeah. And I know also, that's like
all the way to backtrack.
Yeah.
I want to talk one thing that I saw on TikTok about the Multiverse of Madness trailer.
Yes.
That someone said they saw a part of it that it was like almost looked animated because of like the What If show, and it might tie directly into What If, especially because the whole like the Watcher thing.
Yeah, well, because going back to that YouTube channel that I was watching, they were talking about how, and also I was talking about it with my roommate, because I haven't seen What If, but I now want to, where she was saying that, because she's seen What If, that what's happening in the trailer is almost exactly what was happening in What If. It's like with the zombies, how like Wanda and Doctor Strange get turned into zombies, all of the visuals with like the multiverse like cracking in New York with like all of the buildings coming in is literally directly from
Strange.
Exactly. Like all of that. She was like, all of that is so mirroring. Also,
there was
of
a character that basically kind of live action. There was a character that looked a bit like Captain Marvel shooting through, and I think is either Monica, I think it's gonna be Rambo.
Monica.
But someone said that they think it might be like, because in a different universe, it might be like her mom somehow. I don't know.
It was either Monica or Maria. I have a feeling it'd be Monica. Also, because they're fighting Wanda, and I feel like it'd be a good way to like bring the two back. And like,
I thought the line was interesting where she went like, you know, I do this and I'm the villain, and you do this and you're the hero.
It was like, you break the rules and you become a hero. I break the rules and I become a villain. How is that fair? And I was like, Doctor Strange has broken every rule that there is.
What I think is also interesting is that, you know, now there's three different, you know, two different shows and one movie that kind of broke open the multiverse, and you're really not quite sure whose exact fault it was, or if it was like collectively the fault of all of them, because they all like messed with time and space. And I'm wondering if, because of the end of Loki, they're gonna I know the Loki got picked up for a season two, but like, I wonder if Loki is gonna be in this movie, because it would make a lot of sense.
Yeah, it would make a lot of sense.
I mean, if you're messing with the multiverse, you're messing with, you know, all these things that tie directly into what happened in Loki.
I think this movie is going to be like the kickoff point for this next phase, where it's going to be very like cosmic multiverses, all of this like out like space kind of stuff, because the Kang, who's like the spoiler
Kang
alert,
the Conqueror,
who's, like,
yeah,
Kang the Conqueror at the end of Loki, he is in Ant-Man, the new Ant-Man movie. Yeah. He has already been confirmed. It was confirmed like last year.
Let's go. But exactly. Don't support Evangeline Lilly. Like I'm only seeing that movie for like Michael Douglas and Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd.
Do not support Evangeline Lilly. She said a bunch of problematic things and
So basically, anyways, I think it'll be interesting to see how, because I think all of these, this next phase, I think they're all going to tie in to this multiverse thing. And I think it's going to keep getting more confusing on whose fault it is. I think all of these different people, I think especially in Ant-Man, you know, Hank Pym is going to try and do science experiment and harness some of that multiversal things for some science experiment. Like all of these characters are now going to see...
I also think they very much strategically broke open this multiverse concept without making it feel too forced, because now they're able to explore more characters. Whereas like in the first like three phases in the MCU, they were only in one universe and they couldn't just add in characters that didn't make sense there willy-nilly. And now that they have the multiverse, there's much more possibilities and like a strategic way for new characters coming in to make sense. And honestly, like the Multiverse of Madness trailer and the Moon Knight trailer made me quite like confident that the future of the MCU is looking bright, even if people are going to miss their favorite characters.
Yeah. I'm very much looking forward to, because I think, action films have definitely become like the genre of the past 10 years. It's definitely like, I think the biggest genre has definitely been like action superhero type movies. And I'm very excited for the fact that Marvel is willing to kind of work within that genre, but change things and make it a little bit, because it's very easy to make an action movie in terms of like conflict, fight scene, resolution. Mm-hmm. Like I just whacked the microphone, sorry about that. I think, you know, Marvel, especially with the start of WandaVision, they were kind of like, with Iron Man, they kind of birthed this type of film, this type of structure of these like interconnected films that a lot of other franchises have like built off of. And I think that them kind of being the ones to be like, okay, so 10 years, we've kind of had the same structure. We've kind of been doing the same type of films with different characters, which I love, by the way, but I'm very excited that they're like, okay, we've done that. Now let's try something new. Let's work within this genre. Let's work with these characters that people love, but let's switch it up. Let's make things more interesting, more complex. And I think the film industry is going to definitely benefit from Marvel taking all of these leaps with their characters and doing shows like Moon Knight. Because I think the Daredevil and the Netflix shows, I think that people, I feel like if they had started to come out now, they would have done a lot better than when they did.
Oh yeah, 100%. I remember my dad actually watched them from like when they came out, and I honestly didn't think too much about them because I didn't associate them with the MCU, because technically they alluded to it, but they weren't allowed to say the names of the characters. And I also like never... Every now and again, I would watch like an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode when my dad was watching on the TV.
Oh, I love Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I
watched the whole thing.
Really?
I did watch the whole thing. I really enjoyed Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I also think that because it was originally intended to be a part of the MCU, and then with all of the confusing changing less and less properties. Canon. Yeah. And because it was like, I don't know, it became all these other things. It became less and less canon. But I think the show actually got better when it distanced itself from the MCU, just because it wasn't trapped in having to be affected by the things that happen in the MCU. They kind of like in the show, they like branch off to different timelines and they have all this stuff, so like it doesn't exist in the MCU world in the end anyways. Like it exists in another timeline basically. That
but I wonder happens. If what's his name,
but I think it was really good,
is alive in the MCU. Coulson, like Phil, I wonder Coulson? If he's alive.
Well, going off of the show, I can tell you that answer. Would you like to know? He is very much dead.
Oh, he died in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
He dies and he gets replaced by these like, it's kind of like a robot, but they're like these lifelike robot beings from that are like, it's very hard to explain, but it's really cool. But it's he gets like replaced by one of those.
And also, guys, don't be mad at us for spoilers. This show has been out for ages. I hate
the seventh season came out like 3 years ago.
Like, I understand, like, censoring yourself and, like, for spoilers during movies, but I genuinely, like, despise when people make me censor myself for something that's public knowledge already in a TV show.
Yeah.
Like, if I have to censor, like, for example, like, season one of Euphoria came out in 2019, and then, like, when people I know still haven't finished the season, I have to be careful about what I say, and then, like, I'll have one little slip up, and they'll be mad at me, and I'm like, it came out almost two and a half years ago, like, stop. Just because you know what I mean? Like, no one has decided to watch it now because, like, I get it. Like, it wasn't, like, as popular as it is now. And I get it. Like, some people don't always have time or sometimes forget to watch TV shows. But the thing I get mad is people getting mad at me for saying something about a show that came out almost 3 years ago because, like, it hasn't been out for that long. It's the same thing as a movie. Like, if a movie's been out for, like, a year, I'm not going to, like, censor myself around people about it. Like, that's too 100%. Much disrespect to someone. That's public knowledge.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Anyways. It's very...
Oh, what I was going to say is that, you know, like, how the structure of, like, superhero movie or, like, except for, like, certain ones, usually, you know, it will be resolved and everything will be okay in the end. I like the fact that at the end of Spider-Man No Way Home, it wasn't necessarily resolved in the way you wanted it to be resolved. Therefore, like, not really... conforming to the expectation of, because it's like, you know, the young adult of the movie, because he's like 17, 18 years old, you think that everything's going to be okay for him in the end, especially with everything, with the open-ended way that, like, Far From Home ended.
Yes.
I like the fact that, you know, that he was, you really don't know what his future holds, but it also wasn't technically, like, resolved because, you know, now his best friends don't know him and his aunt passed away and you know, he has to get a job.
He doesn't exist.
And he doesn't exist. Exactly. So I feel like it was a smart way of being like, well, we don't know what's, you know, we don't know if he's, you know, another contract from here or what, if he's going to do more movies, but it's resolved by not being resolved, if that makes sense, because, you know, it leaves something open, but it doesn't make you completely satisfied for him either.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, can we, like, move on?
Yes. Yeah, let's move on. Shall we talk about, which one do we want to go to?
Do we want to talk about Taylor?
Yes. Joker and the Queen. Literally so cute.
Can I be completely honest?
Yeah.
Like, brutally honest? I really don't care for the song. I think the video was very cute, and I think the concept was very cute. But I heard it once, and I was like, okay. But there's something about – here's the thing. I don't mind simple songs. I like a simple production because it makes me just feel like, oh, it's a nice ballad. There was something missing about the song for me where I listened once, and I was like, yeah, I don't really need to listen again. I thought the lyrics were nice, and I thought the singing was nice, and I thought the video was cute, and I like that they used the actors from the Everything Has Changed music video, like – 7-8 years later, but it just I don't know something about the song just didn't get there for me.
I really like the song. I also am someone, like, I prefer songs that have very little going on in terms of, like, I'm a fan of, like, one person's voice with one instrument, that's it. Like, I don't know, I thought it was a really, really good song. I also made me I really miss Ed Sheeran's, the way he used to write, and, like, his songs that were a lot more simple, a lot more focused on just his voice rather than, like, pop. 18. I'm not a huge pop person. I used to be, but I'm not a huge pop person anymore. So I really enjoyed that it was a very simple song, and I really liked it, but I understand why people would be like, okay, this is, like, there's not as much going on as especially his more recent stuff, that it's, like, a bit of a switch.
But you know what I kind of, oh my god, I have to stop with that. You know what kind of, you know what I think, you know what, like, it's become my Taylor's, I think for me, I have to stop. So basically, Ed Sheeran's music, it used to be his thing that he was the acoustic guy, and it was, you know, very, it was just him and his guitar and maybe some, like, cool production. Sometimes even if he did an upbeat song, it still wasn't technically, like, bubblegum pop. And it doesn't mean that, it just, his music is generic now. There's no denying that. It sounds like, the problem with his music right now is that it sounds like everyone else's. So there's nothing that sets him apart, mad. Being Ed Sheeran and being the stripped down acoustic like dude with the ginger hair and the cute songs and the with the still good lyrics was an experience, and he was his own person. Everyone was like, oh, Ed Sheeran, his music is like cool, but now he makes music just like everyone else. And I like the song Shivers, it was good, but again, it doesn't feel particular to him anymore. The thing you appreciate about an artist and about someone who makes music and writes their music is that they have their own thing, and it's not just something that conforms to other people's standards or whatever, and it conforms to like generic pop music. Like when Taylor came out with Folklore and Evermore, people weren't expecting that because that wasn't her thing. And even when she was coming out with pop music, which was a lot of the time, it didn't sound like everyone else's pop music.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I think that's my problem with Ed Sheeran's recent music is that he's conforming to like a generic standard that he didn't used to conform to, which is why we thought about Ed Sheeran as being his own type of music, his own type of dude.
Yeah, well, that's why I don't particularly like his newest album. Like, I listened to it once, and it was okay. I only really enjoyed his more stripped-down songs that were kind of his more acoustic songs. He had, like, one or two on the album. But this song I really liked because it kind of felt like old Ed Sheeran, which is what I really like, which is why I personally really liked it. But I understand why some people will be like, okay. Like,
I didn't think it was good, a bad song. It just didn't do it for me. I don't know.
Yeah,
I thought the music video was very cute, though. I thought music is very
subjective.
Yeah.
All right. Do we want to jump to Wordle?
Oh yeah. Okay. So it feels as though since the it's only been a few days, hasn't been a week, but it feels as though since the New York Times took over Wordle or bought Wordle, that the words have been harder.
Yes, they're so hard, and I don't understand. And I saw
an article being like, no, New York Times is not making Wordle harder. Then tell me why, like, since New York Times took over, I've had, like, mental breakdowns from these words.
I've, like, been sitting staring at my phone for, like, 20 minutes putting in gibberish words because I can't figure out what any of them are. And then...
You know what I was so embarrassed about? So yesterday's word, cynic... Don't worry, I won't reveal today's word in case you haven't done it yet. I mean, I guess technically it'll be tomorrow when this is released. I mean, two days from now. So actually, the word was aroma today, and I got it in two, flex.
I got it in four.
Cynic. The word cynic, I had literally thought of it so, like, maybe on my third try, but I spelled it wrong, and it just said not a word list. And then I was, like, literally, I think I was doing Wordle for half an hour, like, writing words on a piece of paper, having a mental breakdown, and then I found out that I just spelled the word wrong, and I had gotten it, like, way earlier, and I was so mad, and I, like, low-key screamed because I was so fed up with the fact that I had just not spelled the word right.
For, I think it was the day before Cynic, it was Robin, and I put it in because I forgot that Robin was like a bird. Like, I think of it as a name.
Why is it a name?
I was like, so I've typed it in and I was like, oh, I'll just try this, expecting it to say not in word list. And then it said it was the thing and I was like, oh, wait, that's actually a word. I completely forgot because I was like, oh, like, I see those words, Robin. Like, I have a friend named Robin. And then I put it in and I was like, wait, oh, wait, that's fully a real word. It's a bird.
What about Taylordle? If anybody doesn't know, there's a Taylor Swift word.
Oh, yes. I did. Did you do yesterday or today's?
Yeah, I did today's.
Okay, tour.
Did you do it?
Yes,
yeah, tours. It was
tours.
Yeah, because Taylor goes on tours.
Yeah,
the day I was really proud of myself was when I put lover in and it was the answer, and it was on my first try. But you know what was really funny? So one of the words, like maybe a week ago, was maple. And I searched up maple Taylor Swift, and it was literally because her and Jake Gyllenhaal got maple lattes in like 2012 or something. And somehow they decided that they were going to put not latte. The word wasn't even latte. It was maple.
And I'm like, looking to see what my guesses were because I was like looking through her discography, trying to like figure out.
See, but as soon as
like what to do,
what I'll do is that I'll make my first guess something Taylor related, and then when I get letters, if I can't think of anything Taylor related with them, I'll just make words until I.
Well, get that's the literally word. How I got tours because my first word was crime, and then no body, no crime, and then I did sorry because I got R, and then I had S O and R, and then I did doors for the other side of the door.
Oh my god.
And then I got tours because I was like tours, I guess this is so weird, like that's because I was expecting it to be like directly related because this is only the second time I've done the Taylor Wordle. But
yeah, oh, I do the Taylor Wordle every single day after I do the like the
main. Well, now I do. I didn't. I like.
Well, there's also Joodle. Have you done Joodle? It's too hard for me because there's also six words. Sorry, six letters, not words. And it's like makes it too hard because like five letter words are much easier.
Yeah, six letters is too much.
I also hate when they have like two of the same letter because then it makes it like that much harder.
Yeah. That always confuses me.
Yeah, Wordle is an interesting development in the world, and it just is so funny that it feels like everyone's doing it, and it's literally just making a five-letter word, yet it makes people insane, and it's just taken over, and everyone just like is like, have you done Wordle? Have you done Wordle? And it literally just became this giant phenomenon, and I have no idea how it happened.
I think, to be honest, through the past, like, oh my god, 3 years with COVID, it's basically these, like, fad type obsessions that all the world gets that have seemed to be like, oh my god, everyone's watching Tiger King, everyone's doing this, everyone's doing that. It's like, it's literally just because we just want something to do. Everyone just wants something to do.
Communal.
That exactly. That makes us feel like we're all in this together because everyone is literally so lonely all the time now. Exactly. So I think having this like stupid little internet game that everyone is trying to figure out all over the world is just like something for all of us to be like, you know what? Life might suck, but at least, you know, we all get to play this weird word game at the end of work and it's kind of fun. And we get to talk about it and forget about what's actually happening.
The funny thing that happened today with Wordle is that I got a text from my friend this morning being like, wow, that was really hard. And then she sends me a picture and I'm like, that wasn't the Wordle word today. How is that right for you? And then I search up like Wordle on Google and it turns out that because New York Times like had just bought Wordle, there's some people were like, the website still hasn't updated for them to the new version. So today on Wordle, the word for like the New York Times one was aroma, and the word for the non-New York Times one was agora. And I was
that's
like,
so much harder.
What? And it was literally true. Like it happened to a bunch
of people. Like agoraphobic?
I don't even know what agora means.
I just know agoraphobic, but I don't – is that when you have a spear of – it's like a fear of, is that spiders or is that arachnophobe?
Agora was a central public space in ancient Greek city states.
That's
I don't
so
think
random.
The word means anything.
That's agora so random. Meaning?
Oh, yeah, it's an ancient Greece, an open space used for assemblies and markets. It's literally not even like.
Yeah, I would never have like.
Because it's not, it was something weird. Like, no, that's not a real, that's not something that would have been on like Wordle now. But it was, I don't know, it was so weird. And none of it happened to, like, anyone else except this one person. And I was like, that's not right. So what else is happening in the world? So there's a lot of stuff happening with Kanye West. And as laughable and hilarious as seeing his Instagram every day and then him deleting it at the end of the day is, it's also kind of sad. Because at the end of the day, this guy needs some help. But let's talk about the funny parts. So he posted a picture that was like a Photoshop of Civil War, and it was him on Kim. Him and Kim on either side, and on Kim's side it was so like funny. Pete Davidson, Taylor Swift, Billie Eilish, like Kid Cudi, and then on his side it was like Drake, like Offset, and I was just like, did Mans really post this? And I could
like,
not
what?
Believe my eyes.
Like,
he's just
why?
Like posting their entire divorce like thing
it's
online.
Just so embarrassing. Like I feel horrible for his kids that
same.
Someday or now I mean North is like 8, like she goes on the internet probably like this 100%. They're gonna see their parents divorce. It's bad enough having your parents who are like these prominent public figures having everyone comment
yeah
on
like
your,
Kanye
on
doesn't
divorce.
Even like Kanye
like,
and
then
like, oh,
to have
my kids, but then he's also like exploiting them online
yeah
and
but also to have like
he was like what should I do about my kid being on TikTok against my will and then he like posts a picture last night of North and Saint at the Super Bowl with him when they obviously look like they did not want to be on camera. Meanwhile, like North is having a ball being on TikTok with her mom.
Yeah. Anyways, going back to what I was saying before, like it's bad enough that North, Saint, and Chicago and Psalm, whatever, that they have to that their parents are like these high profile people going through a divorce that everyone's commenting on. The fact that their dad is actively going out of his way to get his fans to attack their mom is like, literally, this should be something that should be dealt with. And he's posting
private text messages online.
And I have no doubt that Kim has not consented to this. He is, this just seems like he is not okay. He needs help. And I hope she gets the children.
Me too. She seems to take better care of them.
North is on TikTok, but it's an account with Kim. I'm sure she's supervised. I don't think Kim
exactly. And look at how much fun she's having on TikTok.
Exactly.
Compared to like when Kanye was like just taking a video of them and posting to his like millions of followers online to show that he was with them. How is that any different? That wasn't with their consent.
It's the same. Exactly. It's literally the same thing. One, she's lip syncing to some random ass song. The other one is just her and
also the comments are, there's literally no comments allowed, I don't think, on Kim and
there is
either.
Oh, what? On North's account? I thought you meant on Kanye's.
No, on North's account.
Got you. I'm gonna see if anything has been posted recently. Oh, everything's deleted but one.
No, he deletes all of it and starts over every single day. And then yes, he will make memes.
1 hour ago he posted.
Okay, but can we talk about the whole thing with Pete? Because I feel bad for him. Kanye's just like, because Pete seems to be a really nice guy.
He's ill and is not taking care of himself.
No, but honestly, like yesterday Kanye posted like a picture of like some text we had with Kim, and she was like, "If you don't stop, like someone's gonna like hurt Pete because of what you're saying."
Yeah,
and like he was like, "Oh, no one's allowed to like do what," and he keeps calling him skeet, and it's like, as funny as this stuff is, because it's just insanity that it's real. He needs help. It's hilarious, but the fact that he's doing all this as a grown, like, over 40-year-old man. And he's also, like, regardless of that, the fact that people are trying to, like, make excuses for the fact that this is not the first time that he's, like, tried to tear down young women. It's, like, and now the fact that it's a running thing, like, proves to the world that this wasn't just a particular situation. This is what he does. This personal opinion, he just, like, not seem respectful of women at all. Like he acts like Kim is his property, even though she's literally been trying to just like divorce him.
Yeah, she's just been trying to divorce him yes, Kim has her own issues, but I think in the context of this scenario of her relationship with Kanye, she has definitely tried to keep it professional, tried to keep it out of
the public world because it doesn't need to be law school. So
exactly, like she.
If anyone knows about like the logistics of like getting a divorce and like you know how to do that kind of stuff, it's probably her.
Yeah, he's not helping himself by saying all this crap online. It's not helping himself in the divorce.
No, he's
it's
literally
only
just
giving
pushing
her.
His,
it's giving
he's pushing
her
his
more
of getting any custody farther and farther away.
It's giving her lawyers more precedent to revoke his parental rights. That's all it is. It's literally just giving them more reasons to make him seem like an unfit parent. And it's like, I don't know what's going on with him. He needs help.
Also,
and I hope he gets
like,
it.
He keeps on talking about how Kim will do things with their kids without him, but that's what co-parenting is.
Yeah. You're not going to be able to be there all the time because you're not married
also,
anymore.
He was going off like to restaurants with like Julia Fox, not with his kids, but when he deems it okay. That's when
he was like out at Fashion Week, like not even in the same country as his kids.
And now
like,
he's not
Kim's supposed
Fox
to do
anymore. Apparently, it was But honestly, like she was kind of girl boss about it. She's like, you know what? Like, if anyone thinks I was in love with him, like it was like a month. I'm not 12 years old. And you know what? She got her publicity, and she knew what she probably knew what
she got
was
her name out there.
And honestly, good for her. Like. She's not bitter. She's never been bitter. She's never been a bitch online.
I didn't
she's
know who she was before.
Like
now I do.
Kim. So honestly, good for her. She doesn't seem to, she hasn't said anything like ill of Kim or anything to do with the situation. And she was just doing her thing. And anyway, you know, good for her because anyways, what do you want to talk about? There's so much going on in the world. Like I literally cannot believe everything that's happened recently.
Should we hit weekly euphoria?
Yes, but right before that, I'm going to say yesterday was Valentine's Day and I've never felt more single in my life. I've never seen so many people be in relationships online that I'm either like friends with or like just people that I technically
know. People I had no
know.
Idea were in relationships. that I was
same with. Like so many people were in it and I was just like, is this everyone but me? Like what do I have to do to get someone?
Yeah. So what I did was I went on my spam account and just posted a bunch of Pretty Little Liars memes.
I was oh my god, I was dying at that. Okay, so you know now moving into more stuff, like you were saying, the recent Euphoria episode.
I think one of my favorite episodes.
I think it's a testament to how good the show can be when there's no nudity and no sex. Yeah. And it proves that the show can be good, even better without it.
I think this was
just because it's HBO doesn't mean there needs to be nudity and sex, exactly. And I will stay forever.
I think this was one of the most.
Also, spoiler warning if you haven't seen the newest episode.
Yes. I think for me, I learned the most about a lot of the characters in this episode. Like, I think I learned the most about Nate Jacobs in that 5 minute conversation he has with his mom in his kitchen than in the 8 or 9 episodes that he's existed as a character. I think that conversation with his mom was very, very interesting. And it was very well written. The way his mom was like, I don't know how you ended up being such a terrible person. And how she was like, all of a sudden, when you turned 7 or 8 or 9 or 11 or whatever, you became this like cold, distant person. And that was the year that he found his dad's tapes. And how
I also think though that it's a testament to his like support, like not good support system, that his mom thinks that he just snapped, because his mom really seems to assume no like accountability in the way that her son turned out. Meanwhile, she says all these things about how when he grabbed Maddie and like pushed her aside,
she was basically proud of him.
Because the thing is she was like kind of encouraging him, but then kind of being like, you're the worst person ever. But
it was so weird.
At the end of the day, as good as her acting was and as funny as she was during that scene, because I feel like everyone can say that, you know, that scene was she was funny, is the fact that, you know, she kind of assumed no responsibility at all in the way her son turned out. And also, didn't she literally purposefully got pregnant with her first son because of the way that, you know, because remember how she just looked at him in that way, like the whole TV scene. I think she like also was talked about Maddie in a way that seemed racially motivated.
Oh, 100%.
And there's 100%. No doubt in my mind that that mom probably makes like racist comments all the time.
Oh, 100%. It made me because we've known a lot about Nate's dad. Yeah, we've known a lot about Nate's dad. We kind of have unpacked his character psychologically, and we assumed, oh, Nate is his dad. But having this conversation with his mom was like, I was like, no, he's a product of his environment. He's a product of two terrible parents who were they were terrible, and they put him in an environment where he obviously is his own person, and he is obviously someone who, you know, has made his own decisions. But I think he was definitely brought up in an environment that was not healthy or conducive to bringing up a stable and emotional a child that's able to emotionally regulate like the same way the average kid would be. And I think that conversation really made me realize, like, oh, okay.
Oh yeah, 100%.
It's both his also, parents. They the are side, just awful.
On the good side, Fez and Lexi watching Stand By Me.
Stand By Me and singing so and then holding hands.
Cute.
I am so and excited for Oklahoma.
Bye. Oh my god. I'm so excited for Sunday's episode because everything's gonna be bust open and people could get mad.
A lot of stuff is gonna go down. I have seen some things that are scaring me. I've seen people I know they're not leaks, they're just people like, and they're not like leaks of the episode, they're just people like saying stuff on Twitter. People are like, oh my god, I'm gonna stop watching.
That is gonna happen to so and so.
It's like Fez is gonna die and like all this stuff. And I was like, no.
They probably knew that they would get renewed again, so I don't think they're gonna take off any characters that people like, in my opinion.
I think there will be some also, I think there'll be some serious performance in this episode
was so good, all her like crying and yelling. But okay, I kind of like died laughing screen. Though when Lexi was like, "I'm not going to tell you, I don't trust you." And then Cassie was like, "No one does." And I was so, it was so funny. I'm sorry.
I also love how Lexi calls him Fezco instead of just Fez. Yeah. Like everyone else calls him Fez. That's like the energy. She's like his full name.
Guy has a nickname and the girl that likes him or is with him will call him by his first name.
Yeah, it's like his name is Chris, but like I call him Christopher.
Oh my God. So yeah, the recent Euphoria episode was really good. And also just Zendaya's acting of like Rue trying to get clean and her just sitting at the table, just like in like trying to like breathe and like just being in agony. Yeah. That was like just amazing.
Oh my God. And then the end scene with her mom trying to get her into the rehab facility and they were like,
oh my God, I was in bits.
I was like,
because they're just sleeping soundly. And well, in the next room, like the mom's
her
just,
mom is like pleading with these down. People because I mean and
see how like corrupt the system is like people
and Gia you know, finally you know that, yeah you keep going and then we'll and then I'll say my thing.
Oh, just like saying just like how corrupt the system is that someone could be like, you know, on the verge basically of killing themselves because of addiction and then they can't even get them into a rehab facility so yeah. they can get clean get and help. Live is just like yeah. so sad.
Yeah. Also, I'm so glad Gia got some love this episode because
yeah, she needed some time where she wasn't crying.
Yeah.
Also, the last thing I want to talk about.
Oh, Ollie was so sweet. I love Ollie.
The last thing I want to talk about is that Bridgerton trailer.
It's. I'm excited. I really had. I did not enjoy. I mean, I enjoyed, but I didn't like the first season. I just was like, this
is kind of weird. I was obsessed.
I'm sorry. Daphne sucks. I have a crush on
Simon. So.
Yeah, but Daphne
yeah, but I have
sucks.
A crush on Simon.
Well, yeah, I love Simon. Here. I thought Simon was a good character, but I hated Daphne and I hated their relationship. I thought
I'm
she
interested.
Was the fucking most. I'm interested.
I thought
she was
the
most annoying person ever.
I'm interested in what's going to happen with the development of the fact that now we know that spoiler alert that Penelope is Lady Whistledown, and yeah. how that's going to play into the narrative of season two.
I'm excited for
Anthony to have like a proper like yeah. love and like for him and to be the like girl, the main of the season or and the girl of sex education because I think she's
yeah, exactly.
really beautiful and I also think she also do I have a speech I'm sorry I don't not
she's really funny as well in sex education
yeah,
she was like
great and yeah you know she can do comedy I think it's gonna be a good season and it's like literally in the next month and I'm really excited for it
yeah
I'm kind of sad
I'm a lot more excited back, yeah, well, I'm sad too because that means you have to see more of Daphne's face and she's really annoying and literally a terrible person.
Oh my God, you literally hate her.
I hate her so much.
Oh my God.
I just like thought she was really stupid. I just thought she was really stupid Bye. And annoying and I don't understand why he was such a nice person. I don't understand why he was like obsessed with her. It just was so weird to me. Anyways, I am excited for the match of Anthony. I don't know what the girl's name is, but I think it's going to be a very cute romance. I'm excited
also, but
for
it looks like they're trying to convey some sort of love triangle situation from the trailer.
Yes.
Which yes. I'm personally I'm not the biggest fan of love triangles.
Oh, I hate love triangles.
Because I feel like people can still have a lot of conflict and can still have, you know,
without
some kind of enemies to lover situation without there being another person in the mix.
I also think so, that person just ends up ruining the whatever person doesn't get the romance. It just ends up ruining their character because yeah. they become
like,
bitter
unless,
afterwards
unless,
always.
Yeah. Exactly. Unless you make them like somehow super likable and just be like, oh, I'm sorry, but like, you know, whatever. It usually
it just,
does not turn out
yeah.
the way you think it should.
Yeah. And I know Shonda loves a love triangle, but yeah.
Shonda
so we'll
Rhimes,
see.
Let's go. And I'm also excited for all the costumes because I love
Me too.
I love all the Bridgerton like costuming and
so excited for pop music with strings.
I was about to say the exact same thing. That's so weird. Yeah, oh my God. Do you think they're gonna use more Taylor Swift songs?
I think they're going to use every pop song.
No. Here's my prediction. Watermelon Sugar is going to be in there. It is 100%.
Did they not already do that?
I don't think they did.
Did they not already?
Did they put Watermelon? I don't think Watermelon Sugar wasn't out when. Or sorry, it was out. It just wasn't like popularized yet. Like because it was that came out like December. I don't think there was any Harry Styles songs in season one.
I can't remember. It was like last year.
Anyways, there I've definitely will be a freestyle song in it, 100%.
Yeah. I hope it's not Watermelon Sugar. I'm sorry, Maya. It's my least favorite Harry one.
No, I don't
like
want. I don't want it to be in it. but I feel like it might be the one. That's what
can we get Sign of the Times at least?
Sign of the Times or Falling, or
yeah, either one.
Yeah, or Fine
Line. Literally any other one. Yeah, any other one.
Okay, guys. Because we're university students and I have a lecture, which I don't really want to go to. But anyways, thanks for listening. And if you were here the entire time to just listen to us rant about the things we think about every single day and probably takes up too much brain capacity, and thank you for listening to Highly Caffeinated. And we will be maybe 1 week, 2 weeks, because we have reading week and we're going to chill. So that'll be nice, right? Take a break for once.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Thank y'all.
Bye.